Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Give me a kiss to fill a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss. Sweetheart, I ask no more than this. A kiss to build a dream on. Give me a kiss before you leave me, and my imagination will feed my hungry heart. Leave me one thing before we part. A kiss to build a dream on. When I'm alone with my fancies, I'll be with you, weaving romances, making believe they're true. Oh, give me your lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live. Give me what you alone can give, a kiss to build a dream on.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. Starting off the show with a little bit of a different sound tonight. Mellowing out, trying to relax a little bit, as there's a lot of very uptight situations going on in the world that we could get uptight about. This is the March 8th, 2005 edition, the Tuesday edition of the broadcast. And thanks for staying tuned, as I have some very interesting information to cover tonight. And some stuff that's going to require a little more research in the coming days, I would imagine. But, ladies and gentlemen, this plan for a one-world government, this plan for a new world order, has its origins in the occult. It has its origins in the New Age movement. It's very occult-oriented. Freemasonry plays a part. Numerology plays a part. And some are very well-versed in the symbolism of Freemasonry and the occult. I'm not one of those people, unfortunately. However, I do notice things. Whenever they give a report in the media, I've noticed many times that 9, 11, 13, and 33 are very important numbers, but there are also other numbers that signify other things as well. And it seems like that the global power structure, those who are in power, they seem to pull the levers and switches of their power and set certain dates and certain times and issue certain news reports that incorporate these numbers in these reports. And I think it's a fingerprint to each other when they do this, but we can pick up on these things sometimes as well. One thing that I've noticed, as I covered last week on this broadcast, just to a small extent, the U.S.-Mexico Border 2012 Framework. Now, this link is on AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, not a C. Originally, there was Border Region 21, and then it was shortened to Border 21, and now it's been extended. Border 21 was a five-year program, which has now been extended to Border 2012. But there's other U.N. programs and other things that have the target date of 2012 to expire. One of those things, I understand the Kyoto Protocol is set to expire in 2012. There's, as I've mentioned, Border 2012. There's the United Nations Literacy Decade, which ends at in 2012, 2003 to 2012. And there, the United Nations Decade of Disabled Persons also ends in 2012. Then we have the Olympic Games taking place in 2012, which promotes international goodwill. There's also something else called Solutions 2012. And I would imagine if you put all this stuff in a search engine and you could spend hours going through the various things regarding 2012. That year is very important for some reason. So tonight, probably about a half an hour ago, I put in a search engine because I wanted to find out what this situation was with 2012. Why was this so important to them? And I was amazed at what I found because there's a network 2012. Apparently, it has something to do with the Mayan calendar ending in 2012. And this network 2012 website, which you can get to on the internet by going to www.n2012.com, it says great changes are currently underway on the planet, some apparent and some not so apparent. As members of the family of light, now those of you who might remember, George Herbert Walker Bush had his 1,000 points of light during his campaign as president. They say, as members of the family of light, many of us have returned at this time as planetary midwives to assist Earth's transition into a new era of expanded consciousness. Over the past several years, we have been finding our special niche in this process, and we have been rediscovering one another. Network 2012 is an international networking effort started soon after the Harmonic Convergence in 1987. Its purpose is to help light workers around the world to rediscover one another, to share ideas, resources, and challenges, to improve communication, and to explore ways to cooperate on behalf of positive planetary transformation. They want to transform the planet. Does this sound like the UN, ladies and gentlemen? This has been accomplished in many ways, they say. N2012 was launched in 1988. With the first light link gathering of about 20 light leaders from around the eastern U.S. These past 11 years have seen a total of 14 regional, national, and international light links, including one in Mexico, two in New Zealand, and one in Israel. These have played an important role in connecting the family of light during this first phase of the transition. In 1991 and 1992, we published the International Directory of Light Leaders with entries from 37 countries and the International Directory of New Conscious Newspapers and Magazines with entries from 15 countries. This furthered the connection and was instrumental in giving birth to many constructive projects on behalf of planetary transformation. In 1992, Planetary Connections newspaper was born. Gee, you think there's a coincidence there that it's the same year that the Rio Earth Summit took place? In 1992, Planetary Connections newspaper was born, and with some metamorphosis, is still being published in the USA and the UK, with a total circulation of over 100,000. Then in 1995, we published the second edition of the International Directory of Light Workers. As of the end of 1998, the whole project has moved to the Internet. We no longer maintain a print and post operation. Network 2012 was created on the premise that the Earth... Now listen to this, folks. Network 2012 was created on the premise that the Earth is undergoing a major transition at this time. Politically, culturally, spiritually, ecologically, and geologically. According to many ancient indigenous traditions, folks, we came to the end of a 26,000-year cosmic cycle in 1987. In the year 2012, we begin a new 26,000-year cycle. Did you hear that? I want to say that again. They say, according to many ancient indigenous traditions, we came to the end of a 26,000-year cosmic cycle in 1987. In the year 2012, we began a new 26,000-year cycle. Or you might say we began a new age, ladies and gentlemen. Could that be another way of saying that? Is that what they're really saying? Sounds like it to me. In the year 2012, we began a new 26,000-year cycle. We are now in an intense 25-year transition period comparable to a birthing, the birthing of a new era. Whether one accepts this paradigm and these dates literally or metamorphically, the fact is apparent that we are in the midst of a rapid planetary change, and the year 2012 serves as a good target date toward which we can work in accomplishing certain goals pertaining to this transformation. Hence the name Network 2012. And I would say, hence the name, hence the target dates for all these UN programs ending in 2012. These people are evil, ladies and gentlemen. They're terrible. They're wicked, wicked people. They're based in the occult. They do everything by signs and symbols and charts. They have, you know, sometimes I just shake my head when I hear a news report which has this symbolism, because you get to the point where you can just pick it out of the news reports. Because it's reported all the time. They incorporate this stuff in the mainstream media all the time. And you get to the point where you could just shake your head and say, they just can't help themselves, can they? They say, whether one accepts this paradigm and these dates literally or metamorphically, the fact is apparent that we are in the midst of rapid planetary change, and the year 2012 serves as a good target date toward which we can work in accomplishing certain goals pertaining to this transformation. Hence the name Network 2012. N2012 is a process and a communication service, not an organization. One may subscribe to our mailing list, but there is no organization to join, no membership, no bylaws, or officers. The communications hub is located in a remote mountain retreat in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, USA, near Asheville. For a delightful brief story about the Family of Light and our current work, click here. For more information about on the year 2012, with prophecies and predictions from spiritual traditions from all over the world, click here. So I went to that site. This is very interesting. They say this website has been set up as a database for information about the year 2012, not including Olympic Games and political candidates for elections and similar trivia. In the next few years, they say, there's bound to be speculation over the possible meaning of the so-called end of the Mayan calendar. And there are already various theories circulating from the catastrophic to the ecstatic. In 1999, this person says, I started circulating a booklet called Beyond 2012, listing information, theories, and ideas from diverse sources which predict 2012 as an evolutionary pinnacle, a leap in consciousness, a dimensional shift, an end of linear time, an encounter with an asteroid, they say, mass genetic mutation from solar or cosmic rays, etc. Does it sound like they have something planned for the planet to end one era and begin the new age? They talk about, I was listening to Coast to Coast with George Norrie, last night? And they were referring to polar shifts, major cataclysmic events going on to take place in the year 2012. We know the globalists have an agenda to kill off a huge number of the population. So what kind of cataclysmic events do they have planned for us by 2012 to end this era and begin the new age? They continue here. They say the ideas come from scientists, artists, mystics, alternative Egyptologists, prophets, divinatory systems, shamanic psychonauts, mythology, and Mesoamerican research. It was designed to be a brief, easy-to-read summary with references to promote more research. Although much of the information collated in Beyond 2012 has been produced to try and explain the Mayan endpoint, some of it originated before the Mayan long count was known about outside archaeological circles. For example, the McKenna brothers, who found a complex fractal time wave encoded in the ancient Chinese I Ching Oracle, discovered its 2012 termination point several years before they had heard anything about the Mayan long count. This person says, I had read and studied the McKenna's work several years before I had heard that the Mayan long count ended in 2012, and it was this synchronicity which made 2012 an era of urgent research for me. They say, here's a more detailed account. And this goes on for quite some time. I'm not going to read the whole thing, I don't think, because there's, you know, time is precious here. But they say, I first became fascinated with 2012 in 1981 when I heard about a book by Terence and Dennis McKenna called The Invisible Landscape. It took me 10 months to get a hold of the book, and I had read it twice, had to read it twice before I began to understand it, after becoming more acquainted with advanced neurochemistry. For those of you who may not know the story, in 1971, the McKenna brothers went down to a remote part of the Amazon jungle to investigate rumors about the shamans, that the shamans perform magic using a violent psychofluid, a kind of ectoplasm which pours from all orifices of the skin following an ingestion of a hallucinogenic brew called, I can't even pronounce that word, only invisible to others. Well, look, folks, I'm not going to get too far into this, because this, we could take all night to study this situation. This website, by the way, is called 2012 Diagnosis. It's a play on words. It's supposed to be diagnosis, only it's dire, D-I-R-E, diagnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. And this is very eye-opening, though. We have the United Nations Literacy Decade Education for All, 2003 to 2012. We have the Arab Decade of Disabled Persons from the United Nations, ending in 2012. What's the purpose of all this stuff when we know the world government is being established through the UN, and these people are evil? And I just wanted to point that out here at the outset of the broadcast. Now, there's other things going on. Of course, Art Bell had his September 11th guest on the other night, which was just an absolute embarrassment for the New World Order, in my opinion. Any of you heard the broadcast, maybe you'll know what I'm talking about. This Popular Mechanics article, which, by the way, I have the link to the article on my website at darrenweeks.net. I think it's still on the main page. I also have some interesting quotes from Bill Cooper about Art Bell, who he really is. But I encourage you not to buy Popular Mechanics and read the article. Don't give these clowns any money. Maybe we should boycott Popular Mechanics. In fact, I had some phone numbers here around there somewhere. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, Popular, for those of you who don't know, and Chris Gerner has covered this in the past on this program, but Popular Mechanics did a piece on September 11th, which was a complete and absolute promotion of the U.S. government's official story, basically supposedly debunking the quote-unquote conspiracy theories surrounding September 11th. Well, none of the stuff, and I haven't read the article, I haven't bothered, I intend to, but so far, all I need, hearing this guy on the show the other night, it was Saturday night, I guess, they've got nothing, folks. They've got absolutely nothing. Look, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what temperature steel melts. It doesn't matter how hot jet fuel burns, okay? You've got to look at all the surrounding evidence in addition to the scientific and physical evidence. And you can say anything you want to about steel melting or planes having pods. The bottom line is they made no mention of the Project for a New American Century report, which planned the war on terror in advance. a full year before September 11th. No mention of that at all. The testimony by John Maresca talking about the desire that they had to have the war in Afghanistan to get rid of the Taliban so that they could build their oil pipeline. And oil is certainly a straw man as well, as it's being used. You're supposed to believe that your sons and daughters are over there fighting and dying for American principles and interests, which include the consumption of oil. Could we have been off oil many years ago? Well, sure we could have. But why be off oil when they can say there's a shortage of oil? It's very convenient to do so. And we know from Lindsey Williams there is no shortage of oil. We've got our own Saudi Arabia up in Alaska on the North Slope. So all of this stuff is just a bunch of garbage, and I think Art Bell has really shown his true colors once again as he continues to promote the environmental lie of global warming, that human beings are screwing up the atmosphere. And so I'm not going to say a whole lot about that other than the fact that it would be a really good idea to boycott Art Bell. As he said on his show, those who don't believe in his side of the story, the official U.S. government side of the story, can just quit listening. So I think it's time for us to quit listening to Art Bell. At any rate, Popular Mechanics, for those of you who want to know, who might, and they're talking about doing a follow-up piece to the piece that they've already done, I think it would be wonderful if we had, like, millions of Americans call Popular Mechanics and tell them to tell the truth, that we're sick of the lies, that the documentation speaks for itself. And if you want the documentation, at least part of it, go to 911.sweetliberty.org. 911.sweetliberty.org. That will take you to the America's New War section, which has all kinds of documentation and evidence about September 11th. The truth, documentation, cannot be disputed, including the fact that Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco, was warned in advance not to fly on September 11th. We have that article there from the San Francisco Chronicle. There's just, I mean, I can't even remember. There's just so many things, folks, proving that September 11th. I'm in possession of a file right now, a flash file of CNN. CNN reported that no plane hit the Pentagon. You know, I mean, and CNN wasn't the only source for that. Anyway, Popular Mechanics, if you want to call these people, the voice number is 212-649-2000. That's 212-649-2000, and you can ask for Mag's office or Chertoff's office. And by the way, this Ben Chertoff guy who happened to write the piece for Popular Mechanics, Ben Chertoff, apparently is the cousin of Michael Chertoff, the new director of Homeland Security. Can you say conflict of interest there? I mean, that's all you need to know right there. I mean, the guy, that should have ended it right there. But, of course, we're all just a bunch of conspiracy wing nuts, aren't we, Mr. Bell? At any rate, I don't want to spend too much time on this. I've probably spent more than I should. Getting back to Border 2012, as I think this is very important. Oh, one more thing about this number 2012 situation. This is a piece from Iceland, from a website called planetark.com. They say global warming fight to get harder from 2012. It says fighting global warming will get tougher once the Kyoto Protocol ends in 2012, and the world must try to get Washington involved in the long term, the head of the United Nations Environmental Program said on Wednesday. Klaus Töpfler also welcomed Russia's ratification of the 128-nation plan, triggering a countdown to Kyoto's treaty into force on February 16th next year, even though the United States pulled out in 2001. He said countries should already start planning for what he said would be harder, deeper curbs on emissions of heat-trapping gases after Kyoto. The pact aims to cut emissions by developed nations by 5.2% below 1990 levels by 2008 to 2012. He told Reuters, quote, "We have to discuss beyond Kyoto. We have to start the negotiations." That was according to Toepfler. And he said that on the sidelines of an eight-nation conference on a rapid thaw, of the Arctic region. Again, we bring up HAARP. What's the purpose of HAARP? Why is HAARP adding how many hundreds, did I say 700 antennas to its array? What are they doing up there? What are they doing to the ionosphere? I'm hoping to get a scientist on this program here in the near future to talk about that, too, by the way. Weather modification, climate modification, and the HAARP program, because this is something that needs to be addressed from a scientific point of view, and the guy that I'm going to be talking to is a professor. At any rate, continuing here, he said Kyoto cuts could be easily reached like low-hanging fruits. But that beyond Kyoto, quote, you have really to ask about the energy structure in the future. There's a typo here. How do you change the carbon intensity? How do you increase efficiency? UN scientists say the gas is from burning fossil fuels. UN scientists. Oh, they finally admitted it. It was UN scientists that say this. UN scientists say that gases from burning fossil fuels in cars, power plants and factories are blanketing the planet and driving up temperatures. That could cause cataclysmic floods, storms, and raise sea levels by almost a meter or 3 foot by 2100. He said U.S. involvement after 2012 was a key to encouraging a wider assault on global warming, especially in China or India, which have fast-growing economies and account for 40% of the world's population. He said, quote, from 2012, the pivotal point where the new age began, folks, from 2012, he says, I believe that beyond Kyoto, we should have a very, very central target of enlisting the United States. But Washington is making no promises, of course. President George W. Bush has said Kyoto would cost too much and wrongfully excludes poor states, which have no targets for curbs until 2012. Paula Dobrynsky, U.S. Undersecretary of Global Affairs, when asked if Washington might take part in global planning for beyond 2012, she said, quote, right now we think it's necessary to focus on domestic plans we have put in place. Folks, I got to say, look for a Democratic president in the next election. That's what I'm thinking. I think we're going to have a Democratic president, a Democrat for president, in the next election. So that the Kyoto Protocol, or whatever it's called by then, it'll still be the Kyoto Protocol. So all these environmental initiatives can go forward. Washington aims to cut the amount of greenhouse gases emitted for every dollar in U.S. economic output by 18% over the decade to 2012. The policy will break a rise in emissions, but stops short of caps sought by Kyoto. Dobrynsky told Reuters, quote, in 2012, we will take stock of the trends, and then we will reassess our approach if necessary. We've already reached the halfway point, ladies and gentlemen, of the program, as this thing just always seems to fly by. You're listening to American Exposé. My bumper music is not working. That's the beauty of live radio here. So you're listening to American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks. We'll be back here in a moment. Here we go. Stay with us, as we have a lot more information to share with you on the other side, as I want to share some information about regional governance. So don't go away.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Where do evolutionists get their facts? That's next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
If you gave a design problem to 10 different engineers to solve, chances are you will not get 10 different solutions. In fact, you are likely to end up with 10 solutions which all look very much alike. Now suppose 10,000 years from now, someone found your 10 sheets of problems. Since they are practically the same, this person might conclude that each of the solutions was offered by the same person. He would account for their differences by saying that as each solution was tried, better ideas were developed. He would conclude that the solution most familiar to his own day was the final and most advanced solution. When evolutionists compare creatures like man with apes, noting the similarities, they are falling into the same trap as our theoretical researcher from the future. Certainly there are some similarities between man and apes. However, the structure of the human eye is most similar to the eye of the octopus. The general pattern of the functional structure of the hemoglobin in human blood differs by only one atom from the chlorophyll found in plants. And the protein in human milk is most like the juice of the soybean plant. Not one of these comparisons offers any evidence for evolution. What they illustrate is that any good designer will solve similar problems with similar designs, and they offer evidence that the creation is the work of a wise and powerful designer.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Broadcast American Exposé as we continue on here on this 8th of March 2005. And I'm sharing with you information about the global warming fight to get harder from 2012, as they're going to intensify their efforts in 2012 to get the United States involved. And I would suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the United States could very well be involved by 2012 as the pressure is going to continue. I'm sure that through the Hegelian process of creating catastrophes, so that we can all accept the change that's needed to solve the problems that they create, I would suggest to you that the pressure is going to increase. And, well, meanwhile, all the wars will continue, and the population reduction will continue. And, unfortunately, the American people are not any the wiser to what's going on, with a few exceptions. And I refer again to the Art Bell interview because, frankly, I think the only reason he addressed that subject, folks, is because in some respects we're winning the information war. And thanks to the Internet and networks like First Amendment Radio, and there are some other networks as well, a few, that are trying to do the right thing for the country. But, ladies and gentlemen, because of independent researchers and networks like First Amendment Radio, the message is getting out to some extent. And consequently, people are starting to wake up. And this is good news. This is good news for our side. And I think we can take that. We can all give a slap on our backs for that. But there's much work yet to be done, as there's many more people. I mean, look who we're competing with. We're competing with the controlled media. We're competing with a government-controlled media, a shadow government-controlled media, which continually, every day, bombards the public with lies, with deceptions, with manipulations, with various thought patterns and, well, propaganda. That's all it is. It's propaganda and it's lies. Continuing with this piece, though, they say Washington aims to cut the amount of greenhouse gases emitted for every dollar of U.S. economic output by 18% over the decade up to 2012. The policy will break a rise in emissions, but stop short of caps sought by Kyoto. Well, first of all, according to Senator James Inhofe and his testimony, there will be no break in the rise of emissions as a result of the Kyoto Protocol, because there will be no measurable effect. The Kyoto Protocol is not designed to stop emissions, the Kyoto Protocol is not designed to stop global warming. Let me put it that way. At any rate, Dobrinsky told Reuters, quote, in 2012, we will take stock of the trends and then we will reassess our approach if necessary. Topfer, a German, said that the United States was the top emitter of carbon dioxide, the main greenhouse gas, but also was a key source of new technology for non-polluting energies like solar or wind power. The United States just happens to also be the biggest country feeding the world, too, by the way, which, as world socialism moves forward under the UN banner, our ability to produce is being curtailed and eliminated. And those of us who have are giving to the have-nots. So we're going to build their infrastructure. We're going to build everything that they have. And this is called global prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. This is called global equality. This is what they mean by these words. Topfer praised British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who, by the way, is a socialist, for taking the lead and planning a 60% cut in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. But he said it would mean wrenching change. he said, quote, I don't want to water it down, but Kyoto targets were the low-hanging fruits. You cannot get to 60% with low-hanging fruits. See, they're never going to be satisfied, folks, until everyone is completely crippled. That's what the goal here is. They say Kyoto is meant to be a first step toward global warming, against global warming. UN projections show that Kyoto will break rising world temperatures by only about one-tenth of a degree Celsius, a pinprick compared to the forecast rise of 1.4 to 5 degrees by 2100. So there you have it. Global warming fight to get harder from 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just all a bunch of BS. It's all a bunch of garbage, and it's all intended to control you. That's what it all boils down to. But this Mexico border 2012 is the purpose for this is to eliminate the borders along Mexico and the U.S. And I want to share with you, by the way, a piece written by my friend and ally in this fight, one of the many. Well, I should say one of the few, because we really don't have very many people that we can actually trust in this day and age. But Jackie Petru, the host of this broadcast before this one, Sweet Liberty. And back in March of 96, she wrote a piece called Regionalism, Sneaking America into World Government. And revised it in December of 2000. I want to share this with you. This is in the regional governance section of sweetliberty.org. Go to region.sweetliberty.org. And that'll take you right to it. But this is a very important piece, and she references Border Region 21, which has been renamed since then. But I think she writes a very excellent piece about regionalism and the importance of regional governance to the overall plan of the United Nations and globalism. And she says, governance as opposed to government means, quote, control by rules, restrictions, and regulations, unquote. That's a far cry from our elected representative form of government, where laws are to be passed only by elected officials, legislators, and only in pursuance of the Constitution. Regional governance is a layer or layers of government run by nameless, faceless, and usually ruthless appointed bureaucrats who are insulated from the election process and therefore accountable only to those who appoint them, and they will not bite the hand that feeds them. The rules and regulations being promulgated via regional governance are mandates trickled up from self-selected world policy makers at the United Nations to the federal, state, and local levels. Regional governance is the method by whereby would-be world rulers intend to control every aspect of our lives. Without the full implementation of regional governance, their plan for world dominance cannot succeed. The following quote should dispel any doubts about the veracity of the previous statement. From the book published in October of 1995, in celebration of the UN's 50th anniversary, titled Our Global Neighborhood, the United Nations report of the Commission on Global Governance, it defines regionalism as the UN must prepare for a time when regionalism becomes more ascendant worldwide and even help the process along. It is committed to doing so. The Secretary General has called repeatedly for a strengthening of regionalism in global governance, in development no less than in peace and security. That was one quote. This is the beginning of another quote. The development of global governance is part of the evolution of human efforts to organize life on the planet. I want to read that statement again. This is quoting directly from the United Nations, folks, Our Global Neighborhood. It says, the development of global governance is part of the evolution of human efforts to organize life on the planet. We are convinced that it is our time, that it is time for the world to move on from the designs evolved over the centuries and given new form in the establishment of the United Nations nearly 50 years ago. Unquote. Now, Jackie continues and says, could they have stated their aims more clearly than that? On a worldwide scale, the globalists have divided the planet into 10 regions. The divisions may have changed from the map we've seen, North America, Canada, and the U.S. being Region 1, South America being Region 6. Given the present and ongoing summit of the Americas being held, it appears the ultimate plan is to unite the Americas into one region, one nation, as in the European Union, with one currency. Now, we shared information about that last Monday on the broadcast, as we have American University now teaching integration between Mexico and Canada, teaching the next generation of bureaucrats, NGO employees, and people who are going to be there fulfilling the UN system and the elimination of the borders. And certainly the American University isn't the only one doing this. Universities all across the landscape of this country are doing this. She continues, she says, following is just a thumbnail sketch of how the plan is being implemented in America. Regional governance is another layer of government. Picture in your mind a map of the United States of America, then picture 10 federal regions. So instead of seeing the borders of the 48 contiguous states, you see markings that have broken the U.S. up into 10 federal regions. We've been quite effectively ruled under these 10 federal regions since Nixon created them, by the stroke of a pen, just doing as he was told. Nixon then established 10 mini federal governments within the states, because each of the 10 federal regions has a capital, and all of the federal regional agencies have offices in the 10 federal regional capitals. When we hear the U.S. Congress talking about the block grants that are being sent to the states, be assured that the money does not go to the states. It goes to the regional agencies, such as HUD, HEW, Departments of Labor, Commerce, Education, etc., and to regional councils from there. The money is then doled back out to the local governments from which the money was taken in the first place, doled out in return for their compliance. No compliance, no money. We see that word a lot today, don't we? Compliance. passing whatever laws and ordinances the federal planners dictate. Those dictates emanate directly from the United Nations. So if in your mind's eye you can see that map of the 48 contiguous states broken up into 10 regions, then think of a little capital building, a federal capital building, 10 of them planted throughout the country in each of the regional capitals, and that's how the federal government did it. Richard Nixon claimed they were bringing government closer to the people. Yes, they did. They moved 10 little Washington, D.C.s right into the states, folks. Nixon called it power to the people. Then, between 1968 and 1972, the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations, the ACIR, urged and encouraged the states to hold constitutional conventions to change their state constitutions. When that happened, a section was added to the local government section of the constitutions. The Intergovernmental Cooperation section was added. That allows other units of government to be created. The other units of government are sub-state and multi-state and multinational regions. She says, keep in your mind's eye the map outlining the 10 federal regions created by the federal government with 10 mini Washington, D.C.s sitting in the federal regional capitals. And now you'll see how state legislators began politically erasing state borders by entering into compacts with other states and nations. Thus, bi and tri-state regions were created, along with bi-national regions. For example, the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, the DVRPC, is comprised of three states, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. There are five or six counties involved in the tri-state DVRPC. By creating these multi-county compacts that cross state borders, it was necessary to have planning commissions to handle the funding. And voila, a new layer of government. As we all know, it takes money to run governments. So a new layer of taxation was also added, the finest example of taxation without representation. Taxation by and for appointed bureaucrats at that. The federal dollars are fed through the federal regional agencies to the planning commissions, which doles it out to these local governments in three states in return for their compliance. So the state borders were erased, even though we still have maps that show the state borders. The overlay of regional governance has politically erased the borders. If you wondered how the UN mandates get implemented at the local level, now you have a clue. We've seen how the state borders are politically removed. What about the national borders? She says Cascadia is a great example here. Cascadia is a region controlled by the Pacific Northwest region, or the Pacific Northwest Economic Region, the PNER, which has been created by compacts between five northwestern states, Oregon, Washington, Montana, Idaho, and Alaska, and two Canadian provinces, British Columbia and Alberta. Cascadia is promoted as the two-nation vacation. Its main street is the I-5 corridor from Eugene, Oregon to Vancouver, B.C., and Cascadia reports its own GNP. Former Washington State Senator Blueshell, president of the PNER, said, quote, it's our version of the European Economic Region. So they politically erased the national borders in that area. U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield was quoted in a publication advertising Cascadia as saying, quote, national regions are emerging as key environmental economic units throughout the world. Jackie says, yes, they certainly are. Border Region 21, which I've been talking about, and which has been now renamed to Border 2012, has also erased national borders between Mexico and four southwestern states. California, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. That's a part of the NAFTA deal. We've now seen how national and state borders are erased via regionalism. Now let's take a look at the method of eliminating the very core of our representative government, the local governments. Within the states, they have created regions within the regions called sub-state regions. The plan is packaged beautifully and sold to naive, brainwashed, many corrupt elected officials. The carrot is this. They're told that by forming consortiums, compacts, and other townships or counties, that they can save a lot of money on services and supplies. We'll create a council of government, or COG, control the purse, oversee, order, and distribute, and spend. And the COG will need board members, secretaries, treasurers, and have a, you know, and they'll say, I have a brother-in-law who can, and I owe a favor to this one, and the beat goes on. Another layer of government, most of the employees of which are appointees, an elected official thrown in to appease the herd and give the appearance that local governments maintain local control, and another layer of taxes to maintain the new layer of government. This, by the way, folks, puts to the light of the fact that democracy really means that you have a voice. Because all we hear about is democracy, and yet they're implementing this thing right under our noses, right in our own backyards. And what voice are we going to have over these appointed bureaucrats? See, elections are just a fraud. That's just a front. That's just window dressing. The real stuff is going on behind the scenes, and these people are all appointed. And when you're appointed, many times you don't care. You don't care what the people. In fact, a lot of times these people are, well, very much the same way the meter maid giving the parking tickets. And my apologies if you're a meter maid listening, but I've gotten into it with a meter maid before. And they don't care, many of them. The power somehow seems, they feel like they're drunken. They're intoxicated with power. They got the ability to ruin people's day, and, well, let's not get sidetracked, I guess. Moving along. The flow of money is always the same, from the federal government to the federal regional capital to the COG, and then to the local governments in return for their compliance in passing whatever laws and ordinances the federal planners dictate. Remember, the dictates emanate originally from the United Nations. This report would not be complete without a brief mention of the watershed approach, a backdoor approach to regionalism. Remember, we talked to Sam and Trish about how they're metering water wells in Missouri, and they were fighting that. And one of their meetings is on the front page at AmericanExpose.com, where they, American spelled with a K, where they got the people very angry in that meeting. Very interesting thing. I encourage all of you to listen to it. The watershed approach is a backdoor approach to regionalism. Example, in the Sealy Creek watershed, where she says they live, there are 6 townships, 3 in Pennsylvania, 3 in New York, 3 counties, 2 in Pennsylvania, 1 in New York, and, of course, 2 states. The SCW Association is sponsored in part by the Canaan Valley Institute, the CVI, located in Virginia. The CVI is a tax-exempt non-governmental organization, front group funded by the federal EPA and NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association. They have lots of federal funds to give, quote-unquote, to the watershed associations they sponsor. Think about it. An NGO funded by the federal administrative agencies, created by a president, staffed by appointed bureaucrats with millions of federal dollars to hook up unsuspecting citizens into willingly, even proudly and happily participating in a plan that will eventually take over total control of their private property. Last fall 2000, she says, we attended legislative hearings in our county seat dealing with a proposed bill that would allow counties to create their storm water management plans on a watershed basis. That means, folks, that our new little regional unit being created as a watershed will be allowed to devise a stormwater plan with New York townships and counties. Notice the proposed legislation would allow, not mandate, to the counties. The allow is enough to get the ball rolling if county supervisors are not up to speed. For your further enlightenment, a watershed is defined as any land which catches and accumulates rainfall across or under the landscape. Actually, it's planet Earth. More about watersheds in a separate report later, she says. For now, within your state, see in your mind's eye the political erasure of local government borders. Sometimes COGs are formed of as many as 15 or more townships to come up with a storm water management plan, mandated by the state, which was mandated by the federal, which was mandated by the world government at the UN. Subdivisions among townships or boroughs inside subdivisions of counties overlapping city-county regions, called metro, and some of which overlap into other states. And do remember the watersheds. Look at the map of your state, and you'll see all the county lines look at a more local map and you'll see all the townships, municipalities, and borough lines. That is for public consumption. If you can picture in your mind's eye this layer of government right over the top, all of the money and control is being sifted down through there. That is regionalism, the plan that is being used to globalize the United States of America. We would be shocked if suddenly provided with a map that shows the political, local, state, and national borders as they exist today. Pennsylvania's global award-winning global globalist governor, Tom Ridge, which, by the way, is now Mr. Well, was Homeland Security, in the Intelligencer Journal in 1996, said of local government that geographic borders, once held sacred, have become undeniably artificial. Artificial borders. Political, not geographic. The maps we see are to keep us lulled to sleep. Elected officials who are informed about the destructive nature of regionalism usually lack the courage to stand up. Those who do not have the courage and conscience, those whose moral fiber will not allow them intentionally to betray the trust of their constituents, don't have the support of the constituents often, so they go down in flames. Removed from committees, strapped to their local offices and staff, belittled by the controlled media, and finally vote scammed out of re-election. It appears that the only way this will be stopped is when enough politically active Americans realize that their complaints about federal usurpation of states' rights are being directed to the wrong place. Usurpation can only occur when another entity acquiesces to the usurpation. That's us, folks. Sorry to burst the fantasy bubble that has been created by all the phony conservative Christian conservative leaders who've held sway over our minds and hearts for 30-something years now. They would have all had us believe calls, faxes, letters, emails to federal officials, whether they be elected or appointed, make a difference. She says they don't. The action is in our own backyards, our communities, townships, counties, cities, and states. Attending local government meetings is possibly the most important political activity in which we could engage. You see why now the slogan from the UN's Habitat 2 Forum is Think Globally, Act Locally. Here's a final quote from Our Global Neighborhood, the United Nations report of the Commission on Global Governance. Quote, regionalism and global governance, the development of regionalism cannot be isolated from global institutions. Affecting each other in many ways, these groups should be linked in a dynamic process of interaction. Regional arrangements have the potential to complement and contribute to global governance, but may not produce a positive outcome automatically. She says they're experimenting with world government, and the people of the world are their guinea pigs. So she says, you'll notice also that the phony Christian conservatives have never warned you about the very plan that is the very means by whereby the planners are silently, insidiously, and deceptively dragging America into global government, the seat of which is intended to be the United Nations. The plan is regional governance. And that's a very important thing to keep in mind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of the hour. And I hope you've benefited from this. And I hope you'll join Chris Gerner tomorrow as he does his broadcast. I'll be back with you on Friday with a new program. And God bless you. Pray for this republic and do what you can to restore it. God bless. Good night.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that